Today's daf is Psachim daf Kuf Yud Beis. So we've already discussed Zugos, we've discussed Shadim and Mazikin, so we continue with Agarata today, but a little more down-to-earth Agarata, I guess you could call it. Today we're going to discuss different issues that are Asur Mishum Sakana, and different bits of advice that various Rabbanim gave to their Talmidim and gave to their children before they died, different types of advice that they offered. So let us begin. We left off in Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We are holding at Tlai Bebesa, I believe, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 line. Yeah? Oh, before that. Okay, Amar Rav Yosef, 2 lines before that. 8 lines up. Amar Rav Yosef, Hani Tlas Mili Yoiv Arvonu Lenhura. There are three things that will cause a person blindness. Mindesarik Resha Yavesh, if a person combs his hair while it's dry, or Mindeshasi Tif Tif, a person drinks every last drop of wine out of a barrel or out of a cup, that he waits for the last drops to come out, the last drips of wine out of the barrel, and a person who puts on his shoes when his feet are still wet. So those are three things that can, the three activities that can cause a person to go blind. Hanging bread in a basket in midair in the house can cause a person to become poor. People say if you hang the basket, you're hanging your own mizonos, meaning your ability to have food. But that's only true about bread. But to hang meat, to hang fish, to like hang a salami or something, or to hang fish, that is not a problem. That's a normal way to store it. Pari bebeisa kashal anyusa. A person has bran in his house, it can cause him to become poor. Neshura bebeisa kashal anyusa. If he has crumbs in his house, it causes him to become poor. B'leili shabbosos b'leili rivios sharu mazik milavei. On dafka on Shabbos night and on Tuesday nights, on the fourth night. Tuesday night is halachically Wednesday, so on Tuesday nights, so the mazikin will attack. The Gemara at the very end of the daf will discuss what is special about those two nights. Apparently, the mazikin used to always attack every night, but then one of the gedolei amoraim was gozer on them that they can only be found on these two nights of the week, limited them to activities on two nights of the week. Isra de mizone nakit shmei, the mazik that's in charge of mizonos, or that can affect mizonos, I should say, is called nakid milosho naki, that he's makbid on cleanliness, and therefore if you're not clean when it comes to one's food, if a person is not clean, so there could be all sorts of shadim and mazikim on that food. Isra da anyusa novel shmei, and the one that's in charge of anius that could affect a person's poverty is called naval, again a lashon of dirtiness. So if you have a dirty house, so it's going to lead to a person to poverty. Tsa puma dechatzba kashila aniusa. If a person puts a plate on top of a jug, so that also can make him poor. Mandishasi maya b'tzai kashi livrukasi. If a person drinks straight from a plate, so it could cause him to have some sort of eye disease. Da'achol tachli v'lamashli yadei. If a person eats cress and doesn't wash his hands, so he's going to suffer anxiety for 30 days. If a person, as the Rashbam explains, is he bloodlets from his shoulders, and he doesn't wash his hands after bloodletting, so he's going to suffer anxiety for 7 days. There's a discussion after donating blood whether there's a chiyuv to wash your hands. Is that the same thing as bloodletting? I think the minhag is people do it, but I think Rav Shlomo Zalman held that it's not necessary, that it's different than bloodletting. It's not being done the refua, it's being done for somebody else. You do it, so maybe it's different. But okay, anyway, that's the person bloodlets, and he doesn't wash his hands, it's going to be cause him some sort of anxiety. The shakel mazia v'lo mashiyade, if a person gets a haircut and doesn't wash his hands, mavchit tasa yame, it's going to cause him fear for 3 days. Again, he'll have anxiety for 3 days. The shakel tufre v'lo mashiyade, if a person cuts his fingernails and doesn't wash his hands, mavchit chad yame, it'll cause 1 day of fear and anxiety. anxiety. V'lo yada ma'kam afkan. He's not even going to know what he's afraid of. He's just going to be suffering some sort of anxiety. He's not even going to be able to identify what the problem is. Yada a'usya darga lepachta. If a person puts his hand on his upper lip, so that's a ladder toward fear, meaning it shows that he's fearful of something. Yada apusa darga l'shinasa. A person puts his hand on his forehead, so it shows that he's tired. It shows it's a ladder to sleepiness. Tana ochlu mashkin tachas amita. If a person puts food or drink underneath his bed, afil mechufin b'kli barzel ruach ra sharale. And even if it's covered in a kli barzel, meaning even if it's totally covered, still there's going to be a ruach ra on that food. So that's problematic to keep food under a bed. This comes up all the time in summer camps where children have a lot of snacks that they bring up with them, and they don't have much storage space. So very often they'll keep it underneath their bed. So that's a siria shaila. Are they allowed to keep it underneath their beds and then eat it? Are they allowed to keep it there in the first place? And if they kept it there, b'di'evet, are they allowed to eat it? The Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach Perek Yud Beis Halacha Hey writes that lo yitein atavshil tachas amita, even though you're osik b'su'uda, shema yipol bo davar amazik v'oein ro'ehu. Why is it that you can't put something under a bed? Because who knows? Maybe something that could harm you will get into the food and you won't be able to see it because it's under the bed. So the Rambam very clearly takes this Gemara and says this has nothing to do with heebie-jeebies, this isn't mazikin, this isn't kedarka b'kodesh. This is a very practical concern that something's going to get into the food. So the Ravid says, what are you talking about? That's not what it's about. The makor is in the he says the idea of not putting tafshil tachas amita is based in Yerushalmi, and over there it says very clearly it's because of ruach ra'a. The Ravid says that it's clearly a ruach ra'a issue. So the Lech Mishnah says, yeah, that's because the Rambam's not worried about ruach ra'a. And the Rambam, when he quotes the Dirim of the Tzilus Yudayim in the morning in Hilchas Tefillah Perek Dalet Halacha Beis. So what does the Rambam say? He says he does not mention anything about washing each hand three times. Why not? Because the whole idea of washing each hand three times, the Torah writes, is to be Mavir Ruach Ra from your hands. And the Rambam isn't Choshesh about Ruach Ra. He doesn't think there is such a thing to be Choshesh about Ruach Ra. So he doesn't require washing the hands three times. Tosfos Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Zayin Beis says that the reason that we're not Nizar and Ruach Ra Aliyadayim is because that Ruach Ra doesn't apply anymore. We don't find that Ruach Ra amongst us, meaning it's very similar to Zugos and Gilui and all the other things that we just learned about, just like in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't Makbid and Bizmanenu, Mandalo Kaptilo Kaptinim Bey. So this goes on that list of things that we're not so worried about. The Shulchan Aruch in Yardeas and Kufayin Tasivav says that if someone is bitten by a snake, Mutu Lilcho Shalav, he could say some sort of incantation to cause cause it to heal. And even on Shabbos, you're allowed to do it. And says the Shulchan Aruch, why? Wow, this really helps to say these incantations. Says, no, of course not, but it makes the Chola feel better. So if it makes him feel better, you're allowed to do that. That alone, if it gives him a Yishav Adas, Shalot Titzav Daita, we can't have the person panicking because that itself is going to cause a Sakana. So if it helps calm him down, so let him calm down. So that's directly from the Lashon of the Rambam, Menuchas Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Aleph. So the Bir Agra says on that line in Shulchan Aruch that was taken straight from the Rambam, the Bir Agra says, Aval kol ha'boy macharav cholkim alav. That, yeah, the Rambam said this way, and the Shulchan Aruch always likes to borrow the Lashon of the Rambam, but you should know everyone who came after him disagrees with him. Sharei harbe l'chashim namru b'gemara. There's a lot of different incantations that it says in the Gemara, and then the startling accusation from the Gra against the Rambam. V'hu nimshach achar pilosofia. The Rambam says this because he was too involved in philosophy. And that's why he says that all of these kinds of things that we find with kishuf and with lachashim and shedim and different kameos, that it's all sheker. All the Rishonim already showed that the Rambam went beyond where he should have gone with this rationalism. Because you have all over Shas, you have stories about these kinds of things. And it's the philosophy that caused the Rambam to take the Gemara and say different pshat outside of what the pshat of the Gemara really is. The Chas v'Shalom eini mamin behem v'lo mehem v'lo mehamonam ela kol advarim heim kapashtan. Says the Gemara, Chas v'Shalom, I don't believe any of it. The Gemara has to be taken at face value. Ela sheish ben pnimius, but you have to realize not really at face value. There's a depth to all these stories. There's a depth to all of these concepts in the Gemara, and you have to understand. You have to be at a certain level to be able to understand the depth of it. And then he says, when I say pnimius, lo pnimius shel balei apilosofia shehi chitzonius el shel balei emes. When I say pnimius, I don't mean the philosopher's pnimius. That's chitzonius. I'm talking about real pnimius. There's a real depth to everything that's being said. So that's a famous discussion that the Rambam seems to rationalize everything and takes all the irrational parts out of the Gemara, essentially. And the Gra says that that was based on the Rambam's philosophy, that it was based on his involvement in secular philosophy. Had it not been for that, then the Rambam would have gone with the simple pshat in the Gemara. In the Chuvus HaParkasta Da'anya, he quotes from someone that to be mitaris the Shita Sarambam, that why doesn't the Rambam say meaning in our particular case with the food under the bed? Why doesn't the Rambam say the reason is Zigzim Azikin? He says something will get into it. So he suggests that maybe the Rambam holds that there is such concept of Ruach Ra, but Ruach Ra only happens once something gets into it, meaning once there's a physical danger, then the spiritual danger will also be there. But absent a physical danger, the spiritual danger is not going to come. Okay, good. So a person leaves food under the bed. Now, can they eat it? They did it already. Can they eat it? Is it mutter to eat it? So in the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov Chelik Beis Simon Kofei, the Shoel wanted to show that it's mutter based on the Beis Yosef and Hilchas Shchita and Yardei Simon Vav. There's a discussion why it is that you're not allowed to shecht with a kaneh. Let's say you have a reed that has a very sharp edge, so can you shecht with it? So the answer is no. The question is why not? So one possibility is shemi yinakva simanim, that we're afraid that it's going to puncture the simanim without slicing it, but by like stabbing it, by puncturing it in a way that's not going to make it a kasher shchita, and it's going to be possible with shchita. But the Yerushalmi says that the reason is ruach ra is shora alav, and the halacha is that the shchita is not possible b'diavad. So you see that if you hold it's mishum ruach ra, meaning the Yerushalmi says that it's not possible b'diavad. So you see that if you hold it's mishum ruach ra, it doesn't possible b'diavad. So you see that ruach ra is only a din l'chachila, but it's not going to possible b'diavad. But the Shaul says, I'm still not sure because Chamira Sakanta Meisura, maybe we shouldn't play games with these things. So the Shaul, the Shvus Yaakov rather says that there's no Isser B'diavad, it's only in Isser L'Chadchila. But he says, I'll give you another raya, that it says a lot of times in Shas, the Gemara says earlier in Pesachim, that a chaver is not supposed to eat together with an Amma Aretz. Why not? Because maybe he's going to give you from food that's in a Mesukanim. He's going to give you food that Chumas Mais is not taken from. Forget about Chumas Mais is not taken from. The Amma Aretz keeps food under his bed. So shouldn't you worry about that? That maybe he's going to give you food that has Ruach Ra in it. So from the fact that we're not worried about him giving you food that has Ruach Ra in it, so you see that Ruach Ra is not going to be such an issue. So that is the raya that the Shvus Yaakov himself brings. However, the Chida in Shiurei Bracha disagrees with the Shvus Yaakov, says not even b'diavad. A person leaves food under his bed, he may not eat that food. That's how the Binas Adam writes as well, that in the name of the Gra, that the Gra held there. What about the raya from the Kana of Shchita? He says, no, that's very different. When they used the reed for Shchita, the Ruach Ra was on the reed. It wasn't on the meat. So yeah, b'diavad, it's not going to pass on the meat. You shouldn't use something that has a Ruach Ra to do Shchita. B'diavad, it's not going to pass on the meat. Over here, the Ruach Ra is on the food that's under the bed. So therefore, it's even going to pass on the b'diavad. And the Chida brings a raya to say that it's also from our Gemara, because our Gemara discusses Ruach Ra with food under a bed in the context of discussing the Ruach Ra on water b'leili revi'iyos, on Tuesday nights. And the Ruach Ra by the water, the Gemara is going to say, is Dama Brosho, that it's a sakana, that someone who drinks such water is taking his life into his own hands. So it sounds like even b'diavad, if you drink it, it's a dangerous thing. So there's a discussion in later poskim, in 20th century, late 20th century poskim, the Minchas Yitzchak, the Deber Tziner, others, what about at the bottom of a stroller? You have a stroller, it comes with a basket underneath. So what do? You're going out for lunch and you're bringing a salad or whatever, and you put it in the basket underneath, or you bring snacks for the child, and you put it in the basket underneath the stroller, and the kid falls asleep in the stroller. So is that a problem of a ruach ra underneath the bed that you're not going to be allowed to eat that food? So you put it in a Tupperware. But I don't know, is Tupperware better? Maybe it's taka better than the barzel that they had. But the Gemara says even if it's in barzel, even if it's totally sealed in barzel, you're not allowed to use it. That's still going to be a ruach ra. So Minchas Yitzchak thinks it's mutter based on two considerations. First of all, he says that that the problem of Ruach Ra may only be if you put it directly on the ground. If it's on something, it may not be an issue of Ruach Ra. It's got to be under the bed, but on the ground under the bed, not on something. So over here it's hanging in the basket, it's not directly on the ground. Second of all, he says, it could be that the whole concern of Ruach Ra is not any bed. It could be, and this could be the heter for camp, is that it's only a bed that people have Tashmish Hamita on. If it's not a bed that someone has Tashmish on, then there's no issue of Ruach Ra. The Ruach Ra somehow relates to Tashmish Hamita. So that, if that alone were an Minchas Yitzchak only uses that as a sniff in Chelek Dalet Simon Kuf Yud Zayin as a sniff lahakel. But if you were to take that as the as a legitimate kula, so that would solve the problem certainly for the children in camp. They keep food underneath their beds. Okay, hopefully in Tupperwares also. So the Tan Rabbanan, we're about 7 lines into the page on Kuf Yud Beis Amar. Tan Rabbanan lo yishta ad mayim lo b'leili revios v'lo b'leili shabbosos. A person shouldn't drink water on Tuesday nights and Friday nights. V'im shasa damo b'rosho. And if a person does, so he's taking his life into his own hands. He's responsible for his own life. It's dangerous. My sakana. What kind of sakana? Ruach ra. It's ruach ra. So if he's thirsty, what's he supposed to do? He's not allowed to drink water. So lema shiva kolo shomer davar alamayim v'hadar nishti. He should say the psukim of the 7 kolos that David HaMelech said about the mayim, and then drink. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, kol Hashem alamayim. Good, so you should say all that. The ilah, and if he doesn't remember all that, so then you should say the following. He should say, hey, Ruach Ra, demons, look, I'm going amongst a lot of fat people. They're much more delicious than me. Why don't you take them instead of me? And that way he'll be saved by showing that the other people are more delicious than him. V'lo yiki inish badei nisarei v'lemelei planya bar planaset tzachina maya v'hadu nishti. And if he can't remember that, so if there's someone around, he should wake up the other person and say, listen, ploni ben ploni, I'm thirsty, I'm going to drink. And that way he's making a show of the fact that he's not alone. And the Ruach Ra is much more dangerous when a person is alone. V'lo, and if there is no other person with him, he should take the piece of pottery and bang it on the kli that he's drinking from to make noise, to make it sound like there's another person, and then drink. And if he can't do that for whatever reason, he should throw something into it and then drink. A person shouldn't drink from rivers or from the swamps during the nighttime. If he does, it's very dangerous and he's responsible for his own life. My sakana, what's the sakana? Sakana shavriri, it's a sakana of blindness. So if he's thirsty and it's nighttime, what's he supposed to do? So if there's someone else there, he should say, ploni ben ploni, I'm thirsty for water. And if there's no one else with him, he should say this whole line where he takes the danger of shavriri and he lowers and he takes out one letter at a time from it. Shavriri, biriri, riri, yari, ri. Keeps taking out one letter to show that he's trying to minimize the danger and say, I'm thirsty for water in white pottery. And even from the Tamchei, the Mishnah had said, now we're going back to the Mishnah, we're still in the first Mishnah in the parak. The Mishnah said that even if a person has to collect money from the Tamchei, from the tzedakah funds, from the soup kitchen, the tzedakah food, he has to have the dalet kosos of yayin. We can never be poches mi dalet kosos of yayin. So it says in our pshita, of course not. Meaning it's obvious that you need to have it. Anytime you have a mitzvah persumi nisa, we have to provide with whatever it takes. So lo nitzruchel afilu Rabbi Akiva, damar asei shabat chachol v'at tzarech lebrios. Now even according to Rabbi Akiva, who typically holds that you should sooner treat Shabbos like a weekday, and the types of food you eat on Shabbos, eat weekday type of foods on Shabbos, and have 2 meals on Shabbos instead of 3 meals on Shabbos, rather than having to collect money from tzedakah funds. Meaning if that's what it comes to, if that's what the decision has to be, I'm either going to have to collect, or I'm going to treat Shabbos like a weekday, treat Shabbos like a weekday. So hacha mishum persumi nisa, but over here, because it's persumi nisa, we're going to say that no, you have to collect, it's better to collect the money than to treat the Leil HaSeder like a weekday. You got to drink the Dalet Kosos, because Dalet Kosos involves persumi nisa. So we've discussed in the past, why is it dafka that persumi nisa, you have to go beyond you have to go beyond and spend so much more money. Normally, you wouldn't have to be spend more than a chalmesh. You wouldn't have to spend more than 20% of your money. You certainly wouldn't have to go collecting. So why do you have to go collecting? So he said that, I forget who says, I always get confused. One of Salvechik says, one of the Avnei Nezer says, I forget who says what, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with the cheshbon. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's running the world with the cheshbon, you know, that cheshbon is called Derech HaTeva. So he runs the world with nature. Every once in a while, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes beyond nature in order to show his love for Klal Yisrael. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to live with the cheshbon. Don't spend more than a chomesh. You have to be responsible how you spend your money. But when we're celebrating HaKadosh Baruch Hu going beyond his cheshbon, so we go beyond our cheshbon. And we say we stop at nothing in order to celebrate Mishum Pirsumi Nisa. The other possibility is that Mishum Pirsumi Nisa is not just a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah. It's not just a mitzvah that involves a maisa, but it's a mitzvah that involves some sort of result that you're trying to achieve, that you're actually trying to publicize it. So when you try to do any other mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, okay, you couldn't afford lulav, I'll make it ki'ilu you did it. I accept it as if you did lulav. But when it comes to Pirsumei Nisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's as if we did it, but if no one saw it, so then it wasn't Pirsumei Nisa, the goal wasn't accomplished. So we need to spend whatever we can for the sake of Pirsumei Nisa. Even though Rabbi Kiva says we should sooner make our Shabbos into a weekday rather than be tzarech lebrios, but still do something a little different for Shabbos in your house. Instead of having the little bits of fish and a little, mix them together and make a nice dish with the fish. Do something that you could show that it's in honor of Shabbos. To do the Ratzon Hashem, we should be creative, we should be zariz, we should do whatever we can, we should use all of our energy and all of our passion in order to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we can't afford it, even if we can't afford it, we should do whatever we can to try to show that it's special for Shabbos. Tan Rabbanan, Shiva Dvar, now we're going to get into, and this is the majority of the daf, is the pieces of advice given by various great people to their students and to their children. So Tan Rabbanan, Shiva Dvar, Tziva Rabbi Kivas, Rabbi Shua Beno. There are seven things Rabbi Akiva told his son Rabbi Yeshua. Number one, Bini Al Teshev Begova Shel Ir V'Tishne, that he says that my son, the first thing you should be careful about is not to learn in the highest part of the city. When you want to sit and learn, don't go to the highest part of the city to do it. Number two, Val Tidor Bi'ir Shel Rosheh Talmid Chachamim. Don't live in a city where the heads of the city are Talmid Chachamim, because they're going to be so busy learning they're not going to have time to run a city. And when you want people running a city, you want people who will focus their energy on that. Meaning anyone who learns Torah is his Tarascha Keva. Everything else is awry. So it's going to be very hard to run a government when Tarascha Keva. Number three, Va'alti Karnis Lebeischa Pidom, Kolshka Lebeischa Vircha. A person should not enter his house suddenly, certainly not into his friend's house suddenly. Meaning, knock on the door, make sure that they know you're coming, call before you come home. Number four, Va'al Timna Minal Nimiraglecha. Don't walk barefoot. Number five, Hashkem v'achol b'kayitz b'vnei chamu b'chorv b'nei atzina. Eat early in the summertime so you can have energy, because the sun will sap you of your energy, and in the wintertime because it's cold and you need food in your system. Number six, v'asei shabbat chachol v'al tetzarech lebrios. Sooner make your Shabbos like a weekday rather than to collect money from other people. And number seven, v'amishtadel l'madam sha'asha mesachekaslo. You should do business with people who are having a string of good luck in their business. Amra papa lo l'mizben minevlo. It doesn't mean to buy from him or to sell to him. It means join in his business, meaning he's having good luck. So if you're going to be buying and selling from him, that's probably not going to be good luck for you, because he's the one that's having good luck with his investments. Better to invest together with him, and that will be much better for you. But what does it mean when it says that Ma'isi Yodav Berachta, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Eov in the good times that Eov had all his Ma'isi Yadayim was blessed? It means that anyone who even got money from Eov was Misbarech. He received bracha from the money. Maybe that's where the Rebbe came up with the idea of giving out dollars, that if you get money from someone who's having bracha, so that the bracha will extend also. So anyone who got money from a bracha, I remember when I was in seventh grade, we went to the Munkacher Rebbe. One of the boys in the class was very close to the Munkacher Rebbe. His last name was Ostreicher. His name was on the side of the building. So the Rebbe gave each of us a dollar, and one boy decided he's going to buy a lottery ticket with it, and he won $92. Okay, so I don't know. I'm going to cause lines at the Munkacher Rebbe's door now. So anyway, so a person takes a pruta from Eov, he would get a bracha. So now we see that if a person is having good luck, I feel the mizmer minei l'zvunei le'shaper dami. It's not just to invest together with him, even to do any business with him, to get some of the money that was in his hands by selling him something. Even that's a smart thing to do. There are five things Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai when Rabbi Akiva was in jail. He was jailed for teaching Torah, so he told him five things. But before he told him any of the things, Amar lo Rabbi lamdeni Torah. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, Rabbi, teach me Torah. Amar eini melamedcha. Rabbi Akiva says, I'm not going to teach you. Amar lo meinato melamdeni ani omer li Yochai abo masarcha lemalchus. He says, if you don't teach me, I'm going to tell Yochai, my father, and he's going to master you to the Malchus, as if it could be worse for Rabbi Akiva than what he already had. What does it mean, I'm going to tell Yochai, Abba? So there must be some idea of Yochai. I once gave a drash about this. There's some idea of Yochai. A lot of times, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, it may have also been his father's name, but there's some concept that it represents, that he's speaking poetically over here. Amrlo b'ni, Yosem Masha Egel Rotzalinik, Par Rotzalhanik. He says, listen, I'd love to teach you Torah, believe me. More than the calf wants to suck from the mother wants to expel its milk. I very, very much want to teach you Torah more than you want to learn. Amrlo, mi b'sakana, v'alo egel b'sakana. He says, yeah, it's very nice and noble of you to say that, but who's actually the one in danger when the mother doesn't nurse? It's not the mother. It's the calf that's in danger because the calf isn't going to eat anything. So I'm the one that's in danger. It's my life at stake because I'm not going to be able to learn anything. Amrlo, so he said, okay, I'll give you five things. Number one, in b'kashe l'chanek, if you want to choke, so you should hang on a large tree. So what in the world does that mean? If you want to choke, hang on a large tree. So Rashi says over here that if you want to say something that people are going to accept, that people will listen to what you have to say, so say it in the name of an Adam Gadol. Don't say it in your own name because no one's going to listen to you. So always say it in the name of an Adam Gadol. So the Iyun Yaakov writes that according to Rashi, Lashem Lechanek means Lachnok is Chavircha. Meaning if you want someone to have no response, that normally a person will always argue with you. You're going to tell him something, he'll argue back. But you want to choke him that he won't have any response. He'll be Kiluis choking, he can't respond at all. So he told the Bilan Gadol, say it in the name of a great person, and he's not going to be able to say, oh, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, what's he going to say? He's not going to argue on Rav Moshe. That's how Rashi understands. The Rashbam says no. Hitalabilin Gadol means you should learn in front of a Rav Chacham Gadol, in front of a very great rabbi, and then you'll be able to say things over in his name. It's not that you should make things up and say that Rav Moshe said it, or say that someone great said it. No, you should learn by someone great so that you'll actually have things to say in the name of a great person. Rabbi Nachmanel says that if you want to be shol v'isr v'heter, so you should ask questions of an Ilan Gadol, of someone who's a great expert and who knows things very well, but not to be tola b'sheker in an Ilan Gadol. So according to Rashi, l'chora, it sounds like you're allowed to lie. I mean, if you have something that you want to say that you want people to accept, you're allowed to make up that an Adam Gadol had said. And this is quoted in the Magen Avraham, la'alacha, the Magen Avraham, some kufnun vav, sifkat and beis. And Aruch Chaim says, yeah, if you know that there's a halacha that's correct, and you know that no one's going to listen to you because you're not someone who people listen to, so you could say that, yeah, you once heard from a Moshe, you once heard from, and then they'll listen to you, and you're allowed to, it explains a lot if that's mutter to do. Well, the contradictory statements we hear in the name of Gedol Yisrael. People are so convinced that what they have to say is correct that they say it in the name of Gedol Yisrael. So the question, of course, is that in Maseches Kalah says, Kol Omer Din B'Shem Chacham Lo Shem Menu Din Zeh Garm L'Shchina Shenastalik in Yisrael. You would expect there would be some Maimer Chazal like that, right? That if someone says a Din and the name of somebody and that person didn't say it, so you're causing a Siluk Shchina. The Gemara in Maseches Brachas Dav Chav Zayinim Beis says that Omer Dover Shlo Shem Pi Rabo Garm L'Shchina Stalik in Israel. You say something that you didn't hear from your Rebbe, b'shem your Rebbe, it causes a siluk shchina. That's a terrible thing to do. So it's a major tzarech iyun on this Magen Avraham. So the Eliyahu Rabba says that a Maseches Kalah and Gemara Brachos is talking about where they would have listened to you anyway. So if they would have listened to you anyway, don't be told to be in God. Magen Avraham is talking about, and our Gemara is talking about, Rashi and our Gemara is talking about, where they wouldn't have listened to you otherwise. So if they wouldn't have listened to you otherwise, then you're allowed to make it up in the name of Nil and Gadol. Still, it's very, very troubling. Doesn't sit so well. In the Shiare Karban, he says that maybe Rabbi Akiva in Arsugya is not talking about halachos. He's talking about shmuos va'agados. So that's what he said, they should be told to be in Gadol. But halachos, that you have to say, dafka b'shem amra. Still doesn't sit it so well. Ukshatam lamed is mincha. Second piece of advice he gave him: when you teach your son, lamdeu b'sefer muga, make sure you teach him from a corrected sefer, meaning make sure there are no typos in the sefer that you're teaching him from. Mahi amra vitim ramsharshia b'chadita, particularly when he's young, when he's new to learning. Shabeshta kiven da ol, because once mistakes set in, it's very difficult to get a child to forget what he had learned at a young age. So if you teach him the wrong thing, he's always going to think the wrong thing the rest of his life. That's actually a machlokas. There's machlokas in the second paragraph of Masechet Bava Basra. If you have an option to hire two teachers, one teacher who teaches very quickly and they cover a lot of ground, but sometimes they make mistakes, sometimes accuracy suffers when you're covering a lot of ground. Another teacher that covers very little, but everything is crystal clear, everything is exactly correct. So there's machlokas in the Gemara. One shita says, well, you get it, you have to take the one as crystal clear, because shabeshta kiven da ol. Once a mistake sets in, that mistake is going to be there forever. The Gemara even tells a story of a tragic consequence of that mistake, where in a milchama of Klal Yisrael, where someone grew up with the impression that it was timcha as zachar Amalek, not zecher Amalek, and that we only have to kill the males of Amalek, and therefore didn't kill all of Amalek. But the other sheet of the Gemara is no, go with the person who covers more ground, because meaning he's going to learn a lot, and whatever mistakes, that will correct itself over time. So it's a machlokas, what normally happens. Third bit of advice, don't cook in a pot that your friend cooked in. My nihu, so that's speaking euphemistically. What are we really talking about? Grusha b'chayi bala. If a woman is divorced and her first husband is still alive, don't marry that woman. He's not saying an isser. There's advice that he gave to his child. Obviously, she's a grusha. It's mutter to marry her. They have to worry that when a garish marries a grusha, that there are four deos in the mita, that it says ki'ilu, there's someone in bed with you. Some say even by an almana, where the man's not alive anymore, because every man is physically different, and she'll be mezalzel in the new husband, or she'll compare him to the old husband, so it's very uncomfortable. Fourth advice: mitzvah beguf gadol ochel peros velo shechar. The fourth bit of advice that he told him was: if somebody wants to benefit a lot and get a mitzvah at the same time, he should lend money and keep land as a velo schar peros velo schar. He should lend money and keep land as security, because he'll be helping his friend and benefiting from the fruits of the field at the same time. Mitzvah beguf tahar nosi isha velo banim. If a person wants to do a mitzvah and stay pure, he should get married and have children. Arba devarim tziva Rabbeinu HaKadosh Hasbanav. There are four things that Rabbeinu HaKadosh told his children. Number one, al tidor bishach natziv mishum deleitzani havu mashkulach beleitzanusa. Don't live in this town of Shach Natziv, because there are a bunch of leitzanim, there are a bunch of mockers in that town, and you're going to be a leitz if you live in that town. Number two, va'al teshev al mitas aramis. Don't sit on a bed of an Arami woman. Why not? So Ikadamri de lo tigni below Kriyashma. One opinion is it's speaking euphemistically. It means don't go to sleep without saying Kriyashma. So it means like it's ki'ilu, you're an Arami man going to sleep. If you're not, like, that's how a non-Jew goes to sleep. A Jew goes to sleep by saying Kriyashma. Number two, Vikadamri de lo tinsiv giyurta. Others say no, it means don't sleep on the same bed as an Arami woman, meaning a giyores, a woman who has converted. And number three, Vikadamri arma is mamish umishamaisa drav papa. Some say no, it literally means if there's an Arami woman who offers you to sit on a bed, don't sit down on that bed because of the famous maisa that happened with Rav Papa. What was the maisa of Rav Papa? So Rashbam and Rashi both fill us in over here. Rashbam writes that maisa Rav Papa shaisa ramas achas chayevus lo maos. There was a woman that owed Rav Papa money. V'nichnas bebeisa ligvos himane, and he went to her house to collect the money. Chonka espinas, she choked her son, killed him. V'nasnasu alamita, and put the son on the bed. Ukshenichnas Rav Papa amrlo shev alamita, and Rav Papa came in. She said, here, have a seat on the bed. While I go to the back room and get your money. So he sat down. And she came back, and she accused him of killing the kid, because look, the dead kid is under the bed, and he had to run away from the Medina because of this accusation. It's interesting, this Gemara comes up in Brachos also, Al Teisha B'mitas Aramis, and over there Rashi quotes the Maisa of Rav Papa with a different ending. That not that he ran away from town, but that when she said sit down, Rav Papa said, wait, lift up the cover, I want to see what's under there. And they lifted up the cover and there was a dead baby under there, and he outsmarted her and he didn't end up sitting on it. So the Seder HaDor says, must be that both are true. First this story happened and he learned his lesson. So he knew when they offer you to sit on the bed, you got to first pick up the cover. So wherever he ran to, that second story must have happened. What luck that he happened to run into the same story twice like that. And a person shouldn't run away from paying taxes. Because they're going to find you and they're going to take you for all you've got. And don't stand in front of an ox when it comes up from the agam, because the satan is dancing between its horns, meaning he's going to go wild. Amar Rav Shmuel, b'shor shachar b'yom Nisan. That's by a black ox during the days of Nisan. Tani Rav Oshia, marachikin mishor tam chamish ma'ama, mishor muad k'mlo enav. That you stay 50 amos away from a short tam, but from a short muad that always damages, just make sure he doesn't see you. Tani mishmed Rabbi Meir, reish tura b'dikula, sak li'igra v'shadi darga mituseich. If the head of the shor is in a basket, in its feeding basket, you better go up to the attic and knock the ladder down from underneath you, even though oxen don't normally climb ladders, but that's how dangerous he is. Amar Rav, Nizza Detura, Hein Hein. If you want to say a Nizza to an ox, it's Hein Hein. What's a Nizza? So Rashi says, Rashbam quotes Rashi. Rashi over here says, a lachash, that he shouldn't be menagech, they shouldn't gore you. But Rashbam says, no, Nir Ben Hashenu, lachash, El Ga'ar Shagorbo, that you want to motivate the shar, so you say Hein Hein. Nizza da Arye, the Nizza of a lion, is Zeze. Nizza de Gamla for a camel, da da. Nizza da Arba, if you want to get the sailors on a boat working, hilani hiya hila vihilu kulia. It needs to be a more complicated type of statement. Amar Abaye, or dog vikos chamin, ubeitzim vikinim levanim, kulan kashim ledavar acher. All of these things are dangerous for tsaras. We'll explain one by one. Or leather, mandugani amashka de tzalas. Someone who goes to sleep on untreated raw hide, it could cause tsaras. Dog, shibuta b'yom nisan. Eating a shibuta fish during Nisan can cause tsaras. Kos shiure, leftover parts of a kos. Kos shiure kasa daharsana, the leftover of a kasa daharsana of that type of dish. Chamin, chamimi de chamimi mishadri lavei. Someone who bathes himself in a lot of hot water, very hot water. Beitzim mande madruch haklipim. Someone who steps over the shells of eggs. Kinim levenim mande mechaver levushei v'lo natalei tmani yomei v'hadu lavishla baryon hanach kinim v'kashlan davar acher. Someone who wears his clothing and then takes them off and then doesn't wait 8 days to wear them again, because the kinim inside the clothing, the lice inside the clothing, have time to get healthier, and by the time you wear them again, they're going to be lice in them, and that's going to be bad for davar acher. It's going to be bad for tzaras. Amra papa beis adis beishunra lo neil ba'inish below masni below masni. A house that has a cat in it, a person shouldn't go into such a house barefoot. My taima mishum deshunra katel chivya va'achalei, because cats kill snakes. The ispe b'chivya garmi kitini, and snakes have very tiny bones. The yasva garmi d'chivya akare lo nafik v'istakenai, and if a tiny snake bone gets stuck in your foot, then it's not going to come out, and it's going to cause a sakana. Igadam ribeisa the less beishunra lo neil beinish b'hachra, that a house that doesn't have a cat, you shouldn't go into in the dark. My taima dilma michruch b'chivya v'lo yadom stakin, because then a snake will attack you, and you're not going to realize, and it's going to cause a sakana. So you don't go into such a house in the dark, but if it has a cat, then you could be assured that there are no snakes, because the cat will have eaten all the snakes. Gimel Dvarim Tziva Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Rabbi. Back to advice that different people gave to their children and Talmidim. So Rabbi Shmuel told Rabbi three things. Number one, Al tas mum ba'atzmecha. Don't make a mum on yourself. So Mayhi, what's he referring to? Lo tavi lach dina b'hadi tlasa, dechad havi baldinach v'trei sa'adi. Don't have a din tor against three people, because if you're going up against three people, two of them will act as edim, and one of them will act as the baldin, and then they'll always win. Number two, val tamar al amekach b'shah shein l'chadamim. Don't pretend you're interested in buying something if you don't have any money with which to buy it. Number three, ish tchatov la al tazakik la layla Rishona. When your wife goes to the mikvah, don't sleep with her on that first night. Amarav ubenidadal raisa. We have a mitzvah zona on the first night. What do you mean? Lel Tevila is a mitzvah zona. We dafka have to on the first night. So the Rav said, no, we're talking about nidadal raisa. Nidadal raisa, the halach is a woman could bleed for 7 straight days. She stops bleeding at the end of the 7th day. She goes to the mikvah right away that night. So she's cheskasa mayin pasuach. Ho v'huxak mayin pasuach. She has a chazaka that she's seeing dam. Dilma mashchaziva. We're afraid that something's going to come out of it. So we don't be careful on that first night. That's a common sense type of thing that if there's been so much blood lately that it's likely to come that night. But nowadays she's already at Shiva Nakiyam by the time she goes to the mikvah. It's not an issue at all. Adrab, it's a mitzvah. Shlosh Dvarim Siva Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi. There are three things Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda told Rabbi. Number one, Al Teitzi Yechidi Belayla. Don't go out alone at night. Number two, Val Tamud Bifnei Haner Orum. Don't stand unclothed in front of a candle. Number three, Val Tikanis Lemerchatz Chadash Shema Tifchas. Don't go into a new bathhouse. Wait till other people try it out first because it may not be structurally sound. The bathhouses were built with these panels, these boards, over these large pools of boiling water. So if the floor caves in, you're in big trouble. So ad kama, how long do you have to wait till you could be sure that it's secure? Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, ad yud beis chodesh, until yud beis chodesh. Ba'al tamud b'fnei ha'ner orum, d'tanya, ha'omid b'fnei ha'ner orum, havi nichve, will become epileptic if you stand naked in front of a candle. Ha'av mishamish mitasa la'or ha'ner, havi la'banam nichve. Someone who is mishamish mitasa la'or ha'ner, has children who are epileptic. Tanar ha'banam mishamish mitasa la'mitash tinuk yashnila, also tinuk nichve, the child, if a child is on the bed at the time of Tashmish, he'll become an epileptic. V'lamrnel d'lavi bar shasa, aval hava bar shasa leslamba. If he's a year old, then it's no problem. V'lamrnel d'gani la dekare, av gani la dereshe leslamba. If he sleeps by the head of the bed, it's no problem. V'lamrnel d'lamanach yadei lavei, av manach yadei lavei leslamba. If you put your hand on the child at the time, it's also not a problem. Okay, V'lamrnel, we'll pick up tomorrow with Al Teitzi Yechidi B'layla.